technician for the day, but also he is, just so you know, and you don't say anything untoward, he has been out to Nigeria a number of times to some congregations out there. So John is particularly interested in what goes on this morning. Everything okay, John, with that? Say something to me, my brother. Yes. Yeah,
thumbs up. Good.
Praise God. That's really, really good. Okay. Well, the Lord bless you, Andrew and Jenny. Please introduce yourselves. Tell us about yourself. And we are all ears. Glory to God.
Well, God bless you all. We are very, very happy to be with you again. I think two or three times we've been down to Salisbury to see you. This actually is the first time of us taking a proper speaking engagement on Zoom. I mean, a year ago, we never heard of it. And anyway, yes, we thank God for this opportunity. Well, I don't know if you saw that we gave a two-minute testimony at the Assemblies of God conference last October
on Zoom.
So that was the very first. It was just a two-minute interview.
Yeah, and yesterday we were also blessed. We took part in a Zoom, shall I call it praise session, that the Assemblies of God organised from the Coventry Church. I don't know if you heard about that. It was really great. And we were praying for UK, praying a lot. And it revived me. It encouraged me. Because when you're under lockdown and by yourself, you feel a bit isolated. But that revived me. I thank God.
Yeah, it was great. Hear a word from David Sherman as well. We just got a little bit of a gift from him about a week ago, so that was great to see him. Yes, we've been serving with the Assemblies of God. Well, since I got saved, I've been in the Assemblies since 1966. And then we became associate missionaries in 1984. So
we've been together in Nigeria since 1977.
Yes.
So that was the year after we married.
Yeah,
we went off to Nigeria.
Yeah. So, as Tony says, 44 years now. And what we want to do this morning is just spend about 15 minutes sharing from the Word of God about the teaching about missions, just a little bit, and then talking about what the Lord has been doing in Nigeria. And then we want to show you a few of the pictures from the work. And then any questions that you want after that, we'll see. Well, to go to the Word of God this morning, the Jesus specifically commanded us to take the gospel out to the nations. In Matthew 28, many of you will know these scriptures, Matthew 28, 19 to 20, he says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." And there are many scriptures like this, but these are particularly Jesus' commandments to teach the nations, to preach the gospel. It says that in Mark 16:15, "Go to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." All people must hear the gospel. And it's not just making converts. We see that Jesus says, "Teach them everything I've commanded you." And this is where discipleship becomes a very strong matter. We must give all the teaching of the truth of God's word and make sure people understand and become disciples in the full sense, not just converts. One of the scriptures that exhorts us on this is 2 Timothy 2:2, which is very important in the ministry God gave us. And Paul says, "The things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also." See, one of the great things about teaching is it's not just for home consumption. You're taught that you may teach others. Amen? Mm. You're taught that you may be passing it on and reaching others with that same good word of God. And that is the mission, particularly of a Bible school, is getting the young people that God has brought into that training to get them fully understanding the word of God, so that when they are ministers, they will be faithful in sending the word on, teaching their other people, you know. Amen. So that is so, so important, especially with all the deception in the world today. The last 4 years, we've heard a lot about fake news. Well, but for 2,000 years, we've been having fake gospels as well. So you have to know the truth of God's word. Amen?
Amen.
I want to take it about some of the roots of the gospel. Go to the promise to Abraham. In Genesis 12:3, God said to Abraham, "In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed." And he repeats that promise several times in Genesis. In his seed, all the families of the earth will be blessed. And Paul takes it up in Galatians 3:8, that the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, the nations, through faith, preached before the gospel to Abraham, saying that he would be justified by faith, and through him, all the families of the earth will be blessed. Now, that is God's vision. That's God's promise. He wants to reach everybody with the gospel. Amen? He wants to get to everywhere in the world. And in Galatians 3:14, it talks about the blessing of Abraham would come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ. Through faith in Christ, they would find peace with God and justification through faith in him. And all through the Bible, this is prophesied time and time and time again. Psalm 2:8 is a very common one. He says, "Ask of me and I will give you the heathen for your inheritance and the uttermost part of the earth for your possession." Amen. In the book of Isaiah, we see many references. Isaiah 49:6, "I will give you," Messiah, he's talking about Jesus, "I will give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation to the ends of the earth." Amen? You see that repetition was to the ends of the earth, to the nations, to all the people of the world. Amen. And the Lord has commanded us, he said in Matthew 9:37-38, he says, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few." That's always the case, isn't it? The laborers are few. We need the laborers. And he says, "Pray therefore the Lord of the harvest to send forth laborers into his harvest." I think this is very significant. When we obey Jesus in praying for laborers, many times it opens our ears to hear the commandment of the Lord to go with the gospel. Amen. So he says, "Send forth laborers, Lord. Send forth laborers into your harvest." And that's right round the world. And he has given us the power of the Holy Spirit. In Acts 1:8, the Lord promised, he says, "But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth." Amen. See, always the vision is taking the gospel to the uttermost part of the earth. And the shocking thing is that 2,000 years later, there are still places in the world that have never heard of Jesus. We heard of a group of people in northern Nigeria, I think they were Magazawa, and somebody went to one of the villages and they said, we've come to tell you about Jesus Christ. Do you know about Jesus Christ? And so, well, he doesn't live in this village. He might be the next one, you know. So, and that's how much some people know in some places. They don't understand or heard of the gospel. And we all need to be praying for laborers and pray for Bible schools where the word of God is put into these laborers. They'll know what they are to be saying. It's very common for people to say, oh, we just give people 3 months of leadership training and send them out. But you can't be a good leader unless you understand the message. Amen? Right, Tony? You've got to understand the message of the gospel thoroughly and be able to proclaim it faithfully. Amen. Now, on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came and they received the power of God, were speaking in tongues, and the people that came to hear on the day of Pentecost, they said, what is the meaning of this? And Peter said, this is that was prophesied by the prophet Joel. In Joel 2:28, it says, the Lord said, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Amen. Hallelujah. So that is what God is doing today. And I think I heard John Partington saying some years ago that an amazing testimony is of just over 100 years of the Pentecostal revival, that 25% of Christians in the world now say they are Pentecostals or charismatic Christians. Isn't that amazing? It's gone around the world. Praise the Lord. And the gospel has gone into many, many places because of the power of the Holy Spirit flowing through the church. Now, we could say a little about Romans. In the book of Romans, once one of the books that I teach, in Romans 10, it talks about Christ being the end of the law for righteousness to all those that believe. And if I can just turn to Romans a second, he's telling us in Romans 10, he says with the whosoever, verse 13, it says, whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How will they call on him of whom they've not believed? How shall they believe on him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? Will they preach except they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Amen. So there is a clear mandate saying that we need to hear the command of the Lord, go out and preach the gospel all over the world, or to facilitate it, or to pray for missions. If maybe the mission field you have is there around Salisbury, you know, but you need to be praying for the word getting to the ends of the earth. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we wanted to tell you about what God has been doing in Nigeria. And Jenny will say one or two things, but particularly when we show the pictures. There has been, in the last 100 years, a tremendous revival in Nigeria. And we say ekushe to our Nigerian friends. And the revival in Nigeria has been quite spectacular, one of the most powerful in the world. And really, the gospel came 150, 170 years ago, really, but many of the denominational churches didn't make the headway that might have been expected. But in the 1930s, there was a revival in Yoruba land centered on Elisha, a man called Joseph Babalola. And that gave rise to the Apostolic Church in Nigeria. And that connection went back to Azusa Street through Philadelphia to Nigeria. And then in the 1970s and 1980s, there was what was called the Scripture Union Revival. And I was part of that. That was a tremendous revival used, as we said, through the Scripture Union groups in schools, camp meetings. And it's probably the greatest revival in the history of Africa, I would be bold enough to say. And the Lord marvelously used it. I first went to Nigeria in 1969 as a volunteer, a VSO, teacher. As a science teacher. But the Lord sent me there to connect with what he was doing and to open the future ministry that I was going to have. I spent 3.5 years there, and I discovered that the traveling secretaries of the Scripture Union were all Pentecostal believers. And the first SU camp meeting I went to, as well as people getting saved, getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and healed, you know, so absolutely wonderful. And it went on more and more and more. I went to a camp meeting in Benin City, where that was the state I was working in. And there were about 80 young people. Half of them got baptized in the Holy Spirit. And then a year later, we had another SU camp meeting. There were about 330 on that. And at that meeting, I was one of the speakers. At that meeting, I met a pastor and some members of the church in Benin City, a man called Benson Idahosa. And I got an invitation to come to his church. And he was part of this revival that raised up Pentecostal churches, charismatics. For example, the Anglican church, back in those days, many of the bishops were members of secret societies. But you don't hardly hear about that today, because most of the bishops are spirit-filled people, you know, especially through the EFAC, the Evangelical Fellowship of Anglican and Communion. So I started working with Benson Idahosa in preaching for him in Benin City. I had a church of about 80 members, and it was up to about 800 members by the time I left, a couple of years. And now Benin City had been known for witchcraft and pagan religion. In fact, they even practiced human sacrifice 100 years ago, so much that in other parts of Nigeria, it's called the City of Blood. People, that's how people know it. Some people fear Benin City till today. But God was about to break in a place where they said nobody could get saved from the Benin people, the Edo people, they're called. And God raised up this man. He was saved through an Assembly of God church, actually. American Assemblies of God had some churches there, and they had a branch in Benin. And he was wonderfully born again and raised up. He was a Sunday school superintendent up till 1968. And then he was requested to come and head a prayer band. And God gave him a healing ministry. And that prayer band was relaunched as Church of God Mission. And Benson was an amazing man. He took such time waiting upon the Lord and hearing from God that he had a very, very powerful prayer ministry. So that's why his ministry is involved spiritual warfare, breaking of curses, casting out demons, healing the sick, and all these kind of things. And so it was quickly accelerating the work. And they were the ones that sent me to America to train in Bible College. So I went over and trained for 3.5 years at Bible College in America. And that's where I met Jenny again, too, because we were at university together. And then she turned up at Bible College in America, and God brought us together. So, but the Benson was going out doing crusades, first of all around Nigeria, and then he was invited to other countries, first Africa and other places. He went to a total of 145 countries of the world in his time, his ministry, because he passed away in 1998. But his widow, Margaret Idahosa, continues leading work. It's over 1,000 churches in Nigeria. And the Lord spoke to Benson the early days, he said, raise me up an army to go with the gospel to the nations. And he obeyed God's command. And the Bible College is called the All Nations for Christ Bible Institute International. And it was raised up. We joined it in 1977. And students were coming in all over Nigeria. And because he started to preach in other countries, first of Ghana, Togo, Kenya, and he was going around Africa. And he used to tell the young people, when they saw the miracles that were happening and the healings, then he used to say to them, if you want training to become a minister of the gospel, come to Benin City and we will give you a scholarship. You can train in the ministry of the gospel and come back to your country. And in fact, well, one professor at Ife University said that this was one of the best strategies for spreading the Pentecostal vision and ministry around Africa and the world, was to bring people into where it was all happening, you know, and to be part of it and go back with the vision to their countries. And in fact, he was offering these scholarships all over the place, and we were getting students. In 1977, when we joined the school, he just had a crusade in Accra. And in fact, a man was raised from the dead in that crusade because he fell from a four-story height off a building. And the Lord told him to pray for the guy, and the Lord brought him back to life. He was even brought to see the president of Ghana because of that. So 20 young people came to the Bible school because of that crusade. And those were the first ones when we started calling it All Nations for Christ.
The first foreign students.
The first foreign students, yes. Mm. In fact, this is an interesting thing. The University of Birmingham has a department of Pentecostal and Charismatic Studies. And the head, the professor of that, until about last year when he retired, was a man called Alan Heaton Anderson. And he's written quite a lot of books, about 10 or more books, very big kind of university-style volumes on Pentecostal and Charismatic history throughout the world. And he talks about Nigeria and our ministry, Bensonita Hosa, and he talks about the Bible College, where we've been teaching. And he makes the statement that the All Nations for Christ Bible Institute at one time was the most popular and influential Bible college in West Africa. And this is the great privilege that we have had of being leaders in that same Bible college for all these years. And in fact, we've seen people from all over Africa and some other countries in the world, up to 37 different nations have come to the Bible College. If you take Ghana, that's probably the prime example. We've had over 400 graduates trained on scholarship in Benin City. And today, many of those graduates have got leading ministries in Ghana. One of them has the largest auditorium in Ghana, a very powerful church called the Perez Chapel in Accra. We were there 18 months ago. And a man called Bishop Charles Ajinasari, and he leads about 500 churches now around the world. So this is fruit that remains. This is the blessing of imparting the teaching of the Word of God to faithful people that will teach others also. Amen. You get somebody now founded 500 churches. By the way, when they talk about bishops in Africa, yeah, they're Pentecostal bishops, not the traditional type we got here. Amen. So this is what we've been seeing. And my teaching in the Bible College, by the way, I was the vice principal for 25 years. And then I became principal. And in 2006, I became the head of operations for 9.5 years when I retired when I was 70. And handed over to a man that was now the provost. They've been on that for about 6 years now. And I've my main ministry was teaching with expository teaching, the Book of Romans, Book of Hebrews, John's Gospel, 1 Corinthians, and to the degree section, hermeneutics. And Jenny was teaching...
I think my main work was teaching English language, and we established a section where all the students had to learn English because their teaching was in English, although for them that was their second language. And we had a section on remedial English for those. We allowed people who had only just finished primary school, or one or two who hadn't even finished primary school, but they felt the call of God. We allowed them in the college, and we gave them extra teaching in English to come up in speaking, listening, reading, writing English. So that was quite a lot of my work. But the other part of my work is children's ministry. And I've always been on that since the age of 16. I worked with the children's Sunday school in Benin City. When we first went there, 77, the children's Sunday school in the was only in the headquarters church, as far as I could see. And it was one huge crowd of 500 children. And there was one poor lady teaching all of them. And the only person who was helping her were ushers, young men who had sticks, and they were posted around the edge of the crowd of children and keeping them in order so they would listen. So by the grace of God, the Lord used me, among others, to establish a good working Sunday school with smaller classes of about 50. I mean, to us, that would be a huge class, but for them, it's a sort of average sized class, and a teacher for each class, a trained teacher, and so on. Of course, now the children's ministry has taken off big time in Nigeria, and we thank God. I'm just an advisor to them now, but I was the leader of their children's work for a fair number of years.
10 years, wasn't it?
Yeah. And I still, every Sunday, when I'm back in Benin, I will always teach in the children's Sunday school in Benin City there. I can't neglect that. That's my ministry. So.
Amen. So our school has developed over the years. At the end of the 80s, Benson Idahosa, he was now the Archbishop, by the way, Pentecostal Archbishop, he now made the school to be a two-year basic course, and for a diploma, and then we added another year for an Associate of Arts using the Assemblies of God materials from America, what was called the ICI at the time, and then we added a bachelor's degree as well, and they even go further to on from that now.
They can even do a master's now.
Degree, yes. Mm. So what I'm going to tell you now, though, is that when I before I retired in 2013, we were on furlough here just for the summer, and we had a visit from Ron Hibbert. Any of you have heard of Ron Hibbert? Is about the senior missionary among Assemblies of God missions.
Yeah.
And Ron came to our house in Stockport, and he said he had a word of prophecy for us, because I was due to kind of retire from the leadership of the Bible school
in 2014.
Actually, it was supposed to be, but it was 15. But he came and told us that there would be a new phase of ministry for us, and something God had told him 6 years before, when he was about retiring, and he was explaining to us there would be this new phase of ministry, and we'll be sent on to do another work for the Lord, and
be visiting.
Visiting. Well, the thing was that when Ron came, the very same day that he gave us this prophetic word, a lady we used to know at Bible College in America, a lady called Nancy Kling, She was then retired. She's now, well, now retired, but she had a word of prophecy. She got our prayer letter and God gave her this word and she sent it on an email that same day. And when we opened it, we saw that it was the same prophecy as Ron Hibbert had given us. Mm-hmm. Only it was in more detail, saying how we were going to visit our graduates from the Bible school. And by the way, over these years, we've seen something like 12,000 graduates go out into the ministry. So the Lord was now saying a new phase of ministry would be going to visit them to encourage, especially those that had Bible schools, and we would be going to help them and advise them. And in fact, that same year, we went to Kenya and visited some of our graduates in West Kenya. And well, about three of them were Pentecostal bishops, and one of them was the head of over 500 churches in East Africa. So it's just amazing where these graduates get to. But I handed over to the Nigerian leadership in 2015, and I was made the emeritus principal of the school. And with the first 2 years, we spent, as well as teaching, as ongoing teaching in the Bible college, we started visiting our satellite schools, of which there were about 10 or a dozen, mostly in southern Nigeria. And we started going and visiting them and seeing how they were doing. They'd been coming to us mostly, but we now went to see how they were doing. And we went to Lagos, Warri. Warri was the strongest one, quite a big school there. Port Harcourt, Aba, Yenagoa, Uyo, Calabar, Oweri. We're going around like that. And in fact, the Church of God mission got a bit concerned for us, because quite a lot of the time we were going on public transport. And they said, what would happen if you got kidnapped on the way? Somebody might tip them off that you're on the transport, you know. So they insisted that they would give us a vehicle to send us to places, you see. Anyway, we've been doing that. And in 2018, we went to see our daughter and the family in the Philippines. And on the way back, we stopped off in Japan to see a church headed by a graduate. And in fact, about three or four of our graduates there in Tokyo. So we ministered to them for about 2 weeks. And then later on the year, we went to Liberia for 3 weeks and then on to Sierra Leone. And in the October, we had our first visit to Ghana for many, many years. And we saw over 30 of our graduates and were taken around various churches to minister and to share with them. And then in 2019, we had a visit to India.
Well, why don't you go on to the pictures?
We'll be going on to the pictures.
We'll show you the pictures.
We'll show you the pictures, yeah. But anyway, India, another one to be into Ghana again. And this last year, we would have gone to Uganda and Burundi, but because of the pandemic, we've had to postpone it till this year, hoping that the pandemic goes away. So anyway, just let me, before we go to show you the pictures, I just want to show you that the Lord was saying something about the pandemic. I think that's connected with the gospel, and it is this, and that is that you've noticed now we have the vaccine as the way out of the pandemic. People are raising their voices, and particularly in Western world nations, and they're saying to us, we mustn't forget the poor and those that haven't got the vaccine. We must send out to all these countries that have no way of helping themselves to get out of this. And the Lord was saying to me, but that's true of the gospel, because the gospel and the Lord Jesus and the blood of Christ is the only way out of the pandemic of sin in the world. It's the only solution. And where are the Christians shouting, we've got to get the gospel out to all the world to save them from sin? Do you see the point? We've got to get the gospel around the world. And people, the Western world is saying, we've got to put billions of dollars, billions of pounds into getting the gospel, or getting the vaccine out. And we're saying to the church needs to rise up and say, we've got to get the gospel of salvation, the only antidote to the problem of sin, the only way to stay safe for eternity. Amen? Mm-hmm. How many people have said to you, stay safe? And they're only thinking of this life. I said, with Jesus, you can stay safe forever, for eternity, mm-hmm. when you know Jesus as your Savior. Isn't that right? mm-hmm. Amen. Anyway, we'll show you the pictures. Our technician is here. Okay. And we'll show you, all right, this one, right? Or the slideshow. Okay. Right.
Can they see it?
Can you see that, folks?
Yes, we can see it. Yep.
You see the picture? Okay, that's an aerial view of Benin City, the city center. Benin City has said
it's a historic city
for the Edo people. It's the capital of Edo State. And it's a very famous place, really. It's not moving. Okay, we've got to find out how to move this on. Okay, is it working now?
Yeah,
okay, good. That's a typical street market in Benin. They're selling peppers and tomatoes. And of course, we've got supermarkets as well, but this is their kind of traditional way. But one of their main foods there are yams. Now, yams are like huge potatoes, and it's a vine.
This is a way of preserving them.
Yes, this is called a yam barn. Now, this is very important because when they have a harvest, they must preserve it by looking after the fruit, looking after the yams. And they tie them up under shade, away from insects and damp, and preserve them. Now, our point here is that in order to preserve the gospel, you must have discipleship, teaching of the word of God to preserve the harvest of the gospel. Amen? And you've got to look after the converts and organize them into good, well-taught churches. Now, this is a chief's house in Benin City, the Ogiamia family. Actually, it's kept as a museum. But this is what the houses were like in Benin
in the olden days,
so 120 years ago or so. Now, this is the Edo Kingdom. This is a very fierce-looking Benin warrior. They dominated the whole of southern Nigeria a few hundred years ago. And he's holding a sword made of bronze. They're known as bronze casters. The sword is called the Eben. And it's the sign of their chieftaincy office.
And the sign of the king.
The king, yes. And here, this isn't the king, this is another chief, but the king can look a bit like this. He's called the Oba of Benin. And
they still have an Oba today.
Yes.
And he's still a juju.
Yes, basically, we're worshipping juju, witchcraft, you know. Mm. Yeah, but a lot of the people in the palace have turned to Christ. The former king had four wives and three of them were Christians. So they're getting the gospel into the palace, you know. Praise the Lord. And the king's uncle got saved, Yemi Eweka, and was giving his testimony all over the place. And the king's brother, he was one of our ministers. And this is a Benin chief, anyway, a traditional Benin chief with his ceremonial sword and his regalia. But this now is Bensani Dahosa, who was became the Archbishop of Church of God Mission up to 98. And this mighty man of faith and power, and it was reported that he saw about eight or nine people raised from the dead. And we actually knew two of them. Mm-hmm. So quite amazing miracles. And here's him preaching in Warri in 97 with some of the leaders behind. The man in the yellow jacket behind is Ayo Oresejofo, and Papa Ayo, they call him. He became the head of the Pentecostal Fellowship of Nigeria and of the Christian Association of Nigeria, too, the CAN. So that was Benson. This is the Miracle Center Church that they opened in 1975.
Some years ago.
Well, we've been members there for 44 years.
We'll show you an up-to-date picture of that.
This is a few years ago. right, holds about 2,000 people. And this is where they went after that. They went to the Faith Arena Church. And this church was opened in 1986 and still there today. That's the headquarters church now. And God has done some mighty, mighty things. But Benin has changed from it being a witchcraft place to there's a church on every street. It's quite amazing what God has done there. And this was Benson speaking to the students. They were always wanting to be with him. They used to call him above only because of the scripture says you shall be above only. That was one of his phrases. You shall be above only in Jesus' name. Amen. And this is our classroom when the school grew to over 1,000 students in the early 2000s. This is just 2000 something, where when we had probably about 700 or 800 in that class.
They used to teach them all in one big lecture, and they enjoyed it like that. The atmosphere was good.
Is that you, Jenny, on the stage?
No, that's the wife of the director at the time. She's an Australian lady. But she's been there, and so have I. But we're only showing you a few. Now, these are some. We're just going to show a little aside to India. I don't know how many of you have heard of Pauline Edwards. Pauline Edwards
is
lady on the left. She's the pastor of the Assembly of God Church in Bangor, North Wales.
Yeah, we know Pauline, yeah.
You know Pauline, right? Yeah, well, she came to the school to visit us in about 2002, 2003. And when she got to see the school, she said she had students from India and she wanted to send them so they could tap into the anointing and the power of God manifest there in Benin. So she financed them all the way, their tickets, their school fees, everything.
Yeah, she sent altogether about 5 students from India, and you'll see a picture of them next.
Yes,
one.
Yes, this is the next one.
And the tallest one, called Yesupadam, he's been the most successful of them. And we went to see him in India
2 years ago. Yeah.
2 years ago.
2 years back.
We'll show you that.
And he's planted over 200 churches in Andhra Pradesh state in southeast India. And but just as a little aside, we'll just show you, this is what we were with Pauline here in India with Yesupadam and
2018,
doing some teaching in their Bible colleges and preaching in their churches. This is us ministering in some of the Indian churches. And this was his father-in-law's church. His father-in-law had started about 56 churches. Also in Andhra Pradesh, this was Jenny preaching, myself. Yeah,
the ladies on the right and the men on the left.
Yeah, they segregate them, yeah. So anyway, that's just a little what we were doing in India. But this is back to Nigeria now. This is the classroom. They were ministering the baptism of the Holy Spirit to the students. And the man on the left is one of the graduates. He's a man called Dixon Ogbahom. His family were Juju worshippers and has served a Juju shrine, one of the main shrines around Benin. But although he was dedicated to Juju, the Lord broke through in his life and he became a Christian, filled with the Spirit. He's now a Pentecostal bishop in Benin, with Church of God Mission.
With our church.
And he's a special advisor to the Bible school. Powerful man of God. Wonderful. And this was a visit from Dave Littlewood. I don't know if you know Dave Littlewood. He's from Sheffield.
Assemblies
of God in Sheffield. He was doing a healing session with the students here. And the Lord greatly used him. He's a supporter of ours. He's a great blessing. And this was a graduation, probably late 90s. And you see all those that have the blue gowns on are graduates with their diplomas. Probably a couple of hundred of them. And then the ones with red had got the Associate of Arts, and ones over to the left in the black had got the bachelor's degree. And that work is still continuing like that. This was me, by the way, preaching for one of our graduates in Port Harcourt, who has a 5,000 member church. And we went for his one of his conventions back in 2003, I think this was. And that was when the Lord first gave us a prophecy that we'd be going to other countries to visit our graduates. So that man's name is Zilli Agri, Apostle Zilli Agri. He's got a tremendous ministry.
When he was saved, he was healed from leprosy. He was about to commit suicide, but the Lord rescued him and healed him, and he got saved.
Yeah, and came to the Bible school and trained for the ministry, and this is how God has used him. This is now a picture of some of the students at our school. About 20 years ago, we started a Hausa department where ones that weren't too good in English but were from the north of Nigeria would have opportunity to have the whole training in the Hausa language. And we've had 30 to 40 in that class. This group were just a choir. And these young people have been trained in the same way with the gospel, all in Hausa, and have gone back to northern Nigeria with the gospel. Mm. And that the tremendous need in the north, of course, and they're persecuted with the Muslims.
Yeah, pray so, for Christians in northern Nigeria, because they're really being persecuted right now.
And just about 3 years ago, Mama Ida Hosa, she built a new campus for the Bible school at the same site of as the church campground. The campground is called the Balm of Gilead. And so this the Bible, these are the new office buildings and classrooms.
It's on the outskirts of the city. It's a little bit way out. So at first we thought, oh dear, they're pushing us out into the bush. But we've gotten used to it now.
It's about 15 miles.
And it's good because we've got our own buildings now. We're not, in other buildings shared by other people.
This is the classroom block here.
On the left is the classroom, on the right, the admin block. And behind those other classrooms and the library.
That's still expanding. These are the dormitory blocks that they're used during the conventions for housing the convention people. But sometimes they want our students to squeeze into the admin block and make room for them. So this is the big shade that they, this huge, looks like an aircraft hangar.
This is the camp.
Campground
where the Bible school is situated. So kind of next door to us, there's this huge shade where they have conventions, but we can use it on Thursdays for chapel services.
Yes, then this is inside for the chapel service. This was about a year ago, and we're here. The ministry is going on. That's the choir on the platform.
You can see me on the right, with a white hat on and a purple dress.
Okay, amen. This was a graduation just a few years back while I was still the head of the school. And Mama Ida Hosa is just on my right.
Is Kelly coming too?
With the big bishops.
Yeah.
Okay. God bless. Bye. Bye.
Right. Yeah, anyway, this was the staff of the school. And they're a wonderful group of people. A few got Ghanaian and Kenyan, a few other people like that. And just behind me is Mama Ida Hosa's son-in-law, Wale Ajayi, who is powerfully used of God today, but you'll see him in a minute. This is with Feb Ida Hosa. Feb Ida Hosa's
Benson Ida Hosa's
son. Yeah, Benson Margaret's son. And he is now one of the bishops in the church, in the headquarters church.
He's mainly concerned with the Benson Ida Hosa University, which Benson started before he died. So Feb is now the head of it. And he also preaches, especially to the young people.
Yes, now this is Mama Ida Hosa, again, at a graduation. This is when that I had handed over. This is about 2016.
The guy on the right was the new provost at the time.
Yes, and there they were handing a diploma over. But Mama Ida Hosa uses the big shade quite every few months. She has a big crusade, a big miracle crusade at the campground. And this was one of them, just to give you an idea of it. Here are the huge crowd. They get thousands. On the convention, they get about 15,000 coming to the convention. But it's all the rage in Nigeria today for the big denominations and that, you know, big groups to have these campgrounds. So this is Mama Ida Hosa ministering to the sick here. She's very sensitive to the Spirit of God. And she sees the same miracles going on. And that man, Dixon Ogbarhon, that we showed you in this classroom, is just behind her doing the interpretation into Edo language. And this is the Miracle Center again. It was refurbished in 2015 for the 40th anniversary. And it's very, very smart looking now. This is Wale Ajayi. He's our home pastor, and he's a bishop now, but he's one of the special advisors to the Bible School, and he has a real zeal for the Bible School, and he has a miracle ministry as well. Bishop Wale, he sees miracles almost every week of healings and blessings, and God uses him very powerfully. He's going out doing crusades as well across the land. He did a crusade in Liberia that we set up for him. And this is now another thing we'd be doing inside the country. This was in Abuja. And we've got a converted a Muslim, a son of an emir, who's a graduate of the school. And he runs a school in Abuja, has about 25 students, but their main aim is to train converted Muslims and get them solid in the Christian faith, how they might really know the Lord. So we spent several days, almost a week, with them doing teaching, Romans, Hebrews, children's ministry, and so on. And now this one is in Ghana. This was the two trips we went to Ghana, and this picture was at a place called the Christian Action Ministry,
Action Chapel.
They have thousands of members and about 300 churches. And this man in the blue in the center is Archbishop Nicholas Duncan Williams, who's one of the leading Pentecostal leaders in Ghana. And he's a mighty man of God with a healing ministry as well.
He was in the school in 78.
In the school in 78, yes. And he was illiterate at the time. We had to teach him to read and write. So the Lord has greatly used him. Yeah, and this was 18 months ago in the church of Charles Aginasari. Perez Chapel.
That's their Bible school.
And we did a couple of weeks of teaching with them, Romans, Hebrews. Jenny did some children's ministry with them. And by the way, the first time we were in Ghana, they set up us to have a talk show program with the Ghana Broadcasting Corporation, the GBC. And this was a half an hour program for all over Ghana on the television. And we were talking about the life and ministry of Benson Idahosa. So that was a wonderful opportunity. A lot of our graduates in Ghana saw us on the program. This is Mamari Gahosa doing her international ministry. She was in Tokyo preaching the gospel, healing crusade some years back now.
It's an indoor crusade. Indoor
crusade, yeah. And this is our staff.
In 2009.
Yeah, I took that 10 years ago. And when we were still leaders there. And at least a half of those are still remaining on the staff. And these were some of our students, some from Yoruba land, some from Igbo, some from the north, some from the riverine.
In their traditional garments.
All in their traditional garments they were showing us. And this was the 40th anniversary. They had a big picture of Benson remembering him. And the flags of the 37 nations that have been to the school, and us as well. So we were in that meeting. In fact, the brother of the King of Benin was on the platform there in the grey suit there. And this was the other year.
The 50th
anniversary, yes. That was 2018. This is Mamari Dahosa introducing the new provost of the school and in the red. And this was the man from India that we went to visit in India, coming and bringing an award to Mama Idahosa. In fact, that was when he invited us to come to India and visit his churches there. That was Yesupadam. And this was the man in Port Harcourt, Zilli Agri. And he was preaching at the 50th anniversary. So he's a mighty man of God. That's great, great blessing. And so finally, that was our 50th anniversary parade. You see, the British flag is there. we were, that's just representing us, really. And America and all the other flags of the nations. So, right, that's it. So how do we...
We'd like to ask your help in prayer, particularly. Please pray for the Bible school, because although most of the pictures we've shown you have been of large groups, the numbers have gone down of late. This is for various reasons. One is that 2015, when Andrew handed over, we also got a Muslim president in Nigeria, Buhari, and he, I'm afraid, has brought the country down. Economically, people are struggling now, and the cost of living is going up and up all the time. So, of course, some people can't afford to come to Bible school anymore. But what we do is we raise money for scholarships. So if any of you are interested to give a donation for a scholarship, we'd be happy. It's actually to support a student for one semester. There's two semesters in a year. It takes about £75, I'd say. So £150 for a year. That would be £300 for 2 years, which will be their whole diploma course.
Yeah, we're still getting Northerners coming in from the North. They're in scholarship. We have to give them some feeding money too, from the North.
Yes, but we consider this important. But particularly, please pray for the school and pray for the new leadership, the Nigerian provosts. We just pray that he will have wisdom in leading the school, put it that way.
Because the pandemic, of course, caused the school to be closed for about 6 months in Nigeria because there was lockdown everywhere. So anyway, we hope we'll be back about the middle of the year, back to Nigeria. And and later in the year, we'll be going to Uganda and Burundi. But it's been a blessing to share with you. And if any of you can be praying for the school and praying for Nigeria, Nigeria is greatly in need of prayer. And
particularly because of the Muslim persecution.
Yes, that's quite well known, that it's something that's going on. It's probably, in some degrees, it's probably one of the worst persecution rates, especially in northern Nigeria, in the world, according to Open Doors. Amen. So do pray for us and pray for the work. And we'll be remembering you folks.
We'll keep in touch.
Amen.
Keep you.
So, Tony, we'll hand back to you.
Well, thank you so much. I mean, what else can we say? But wow, and I don't want to comment or add anything to that and take away from what you've shared. There's so much to assimilate, and I'm sure we will be praying and also helping you in other ways too out there. I have kind of warned you because, like right now, we're about the time where we shortly will be closing our meeting, and we normally have a chance to just chat among ourselves, but I would love it if we all maybe stayed together and gave opportunity for some to ask questions of so many aspects to what you have shared. We've got folks with connection to Nigeria too and other parts of the world. So I'm just going to allow people to unmute themselves. If you want to ask a question to Andrew and Jenny, please do that. And, we've got another 5 or 10 minutes where we can just perhaps share together in that way. Okay. Go. Stunned.